is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's no longer new. I'm not going to call it new, but boy, is it shiny. It is the new VSiN.com, VSIN.com. Go on over there and take a look. It is your best bets. You're getting your betting splits. You're getting the articles. You're getting odds that you can go in and look at the state you live in and see the different books and what they are offering you. You've got the betting tools over there as well. And if you're new to this whole betting thing, we also have some betting guides over there to help you figure things out. I mean, listen, not everybody is proficient in betting in every single sport, so we're going to help you out. If you're a tennis bettor, we'll show you how to do that. If you want to get into NASCAR, maybe Wyatt will help you out on that. Who knows? We'll see how that all goes down. But VSiN.com, VSIN.com, mobile friendly as well. Matt Brown and Adam Burke in here today on Sharp Money. We just talked some Cleveland Browns. We just talked about our guide that we put out as well. You did the AFC North. You dug in. You did the work on these teams. So let's just go ahead and we'll kick it off here with the Browns and continue this discussion. Get your opinion, your thoughts on the Browns. You are a fan, but also someone that has looked deep into them now that you wrote that portion of the guide. I don't think I'm breaking any news here, Adam, when we say I think this team goes how Deshaun Watson goes, and we have yet to see really anything that resembled at all what he did down in Houston when he was, I mean, widely considered. If you go back, and I think it's so far in people's memory and all the stuff that was going on, the reason he got suspended and all this stuff, this was a guy, if you would have asked in the height of his powers, hey, give me your top five quarterbacks in the NFL. He's certainly making that list. And somebody, if you said, give me the top three, he might have made your top three list because of what he was able to do. He's not even come anywhere close to that since he's been in Cleveland. There's obviously no excuses now, right? Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, you're probably going to have Chubb back. You got Njoku, all the stuff like that. Elijah Moore, no excuses. You got to get it done.
Yeah, and he's still a really good offensive line, too. Mm-hmm. You know, so there are no excuses for Deshaun Watson. And, you know, it was said that Kevin Stefanski completely reworked his playbook prior to last season, trying to capitalize on what it is that Watson does really, really well. And, I mean, yeah, the Browns went 5-1 in Deshaun Watson's six starts, but he had a 7-4 touchdown interception ratio. He was sacked 17 times in those six games. They didn't win because of him. They won because of the defense. So, yeah, I mean, you really look, and this is what a lot of teams are doing around the NFL, right? I mean, skill position talent across the league is maybe better than ever in terms of pass catching running backs, in terms of teams having two, three really good wide receivers. The tight end is being used more as well. Every team in the league is trying to set the quarterback up for as much success as possible. Cleveland has done the same thing. And look, I could make an argument. You may disagree with me. Maybe other people out there do as well. This is the best roster in the AFC outside of the quarterback position. Oh, so yeah, it is all on Watson.
Yeah, I mean, if you look up and down, I mean, you look up and down, there's really nothing to poke holes at. I will say this, difficult schedule.
Yes.
Really tough. Yep. If you look at kind of the projected win totals, which is how we like to do it, we don't look in the past, we look in the future. Only Pittsburgh and New England have tougher schedules than Cleveland heading into this year. And so you do have that. And let's also add in what I have dubbed to be the division of death as we head into this year, because you know Baltimore's going to be good. You know Cincinnati's going to be good. And Pittsburgh should be better anyway because they got zero out of the quarterback position last year. And even a washed-up Russell Wilson's going to be better than what they got last year. And so you don't get any favors in the division that you play in either.
Right. No, you really don't. And look, I think that's a really difficult thing when it comes to Pittsburgh, especially because after the bye week, their schedule is miserable. I mean, they play all six of their AFC North games, along with Washington, who I don't know what Washington will be by November 10th. If Jaden Daniels is a dude, Washington could be pretty good by that point. Then they're also at Philadelphia, and they play Kansas City on Christmas. So Pittsburgh's schedule is absolutely miserable after the bye week, and we joke about it, right? Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. You may have heard that before on our airwaves.
Yeah,
like, he gets the most out of his teams. But even though this team is better, I think this could be the first one with a losing record just because that meat grinder schedule at the end of the year is so rough.
Yeah, you look at these odds for the AFC North. Plus 130 on the Ravens, plus 145 on the Bengals. You got 6-1 on the Browns and 850 on the Steelers. I don't know if that's long enough on the Steelers to be. I think they're clearly number four. And as you mentioned, then you couple it with the schedule as well with all that. I mean, I can't imagine a number anywhere close to where we're sitting right now where I would want to come in on the Steelers. Like, this would need to be 14-15 or something like that, in my opinion, because not only that, I am of the mindset, I believe that Russell Wilson is washed. So I do believe that. I think we do see Justin Fields before the end of the season is over with. Russell Wilson, you kind of look last year, guy was just completely lost. He lost that deep ball as well, which kind of his one saving grace for a while with all this. And so I kind of look at where we are with all this. So what do you think about the plus 130 with the Ravens and 145 with Cincinnati? I think that should be flip-flopped. I think Cincinnati is the best team in the division. I think if you look at Baltimore, there was some significant losses for them last year, and they ran really pure last year as well, in my personal opinion. And so I know there's some question marks. Joe Burrow coming back from injury. I know this is now the second revamp of the offensive line that we have seen in Cincinnati as well. We keep hearing this, oh, no, they got the offensive line figured out this time, and then Joe Burrow's running for his life and getting sacked a million times a game. But it does. They at least have the talent. Now, whether they can all play together, I don't know. T. Higgins going to come back. You like to think that he's going to have the right mindset. He is making $21 million. I mean, like I know he wants a long-term deal, but, bro, you're getting $21 million to play football for 1 year. So what do you think where the Ravens sit in Cincinnati, and how far apart do you see them?
Yeah, the one thing I will say, you mentioned about Pittsburgh, I wouldn't waste my time with Russ. I would just go with Fields right away. Because remember, when people were talking about Justin Fields getting traded last year, everyone's like, well, he should go to Atlanta. Be with Arthur Smith. Yeah. Well, now he can be with Arthur Smith. I don't know why they're wasting their time with Russ. But, look, you know, on the question with the Bengals, you know, not only do you have the Joe Burrow question, and it is a very big question because this is an injury that, you know, we typically don't see a whole lot in the NFL with a quarterback coming back from a torn wrist ligament like this. And you do wonder if it kind of lingers, if it is something that winds up being problematic as the season goes along. But also, this defense took a massive step back last year. And I guess you could argue that, you know, maybe they kind of thought the season was over when Burrow went down. Maybe you didn't get the, you know, max effort on the defensive side and all that. But, I mean, they went from 14th in rush EPA and 7th in dropback EPA in 2022 to 25th in rush EPA and 24th in dropback EPA last year. This is a defense that's got to figure some things out. And everyone was singing the praises of Lou Anarumo in 2022, specifically the halftime adjustments he was making, because Cincinnati was far and away the best second-half defense in the NFL during that 22 campaign. Last year, everything kind of changed for them. So it's not just the questions on the offensive side for me with the Bengals. I have questions on the defensive side, too.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. You look at this schedule for Cincinnati, one of the things that they did luck out just because of where they finished last year, you have the sixth easiest schedule in all of the NFL for Cincinnati. And so, yeah, there are some landmines in there. You do go in week two, you go on the road to Kansas City, but you start to look at this, and Adam, it's like New England, like we said, on the road to Kansas City, but then Washington, Carolina, there's New York in week six, Vegas in 9, you get the Chargers in 11. There are a lot of wins on this schedule for Cincinnati should Joe Burrow's wrist be okay.
Yeah, and not only that, the Chargers are on that, you know, kind of half bye week because they play Baltimore on Thursday night. So, yeah, back-to-back roadies, but the trip out to L.A., they get a little bit of extra rest before that. Then they hit the bye, and then what could be a really pivotal game against Pittsburgh there on December 1st. So, the schedule is very favorable for Cincinnati, and that's the tough thing for me because in our NFL betting guide, I leaned under with the Bengals because I have those defensive concerns, because I have those Burrow concerns. At the same time, they're favored in, what, 13 or 14 of their 17 games?
Yeah.
And unless Burrow gets hurt, that's probably not going to change. So this is a team that will have expectations, does have a weaker schedule relative to their division brethren, but, you know, the late bye week is Burrow – you know, because I mean, think about it. Last year, Burrow had the calf injury in training camp. He probably wasn't going to play in the preseason anyway, but he was awful in his first 3 or 4 games last year. Then he kind of found his stride a little bit, and then the wrist thing happened. So, yeah, I think there are a lot of questions about Burrow's health coming into the season. And I think there's also questions, you know, if you're Zach Taylor, I mean, do you kind of have to play Burrow a little bit in the 3 preseason games and run that risk and take that chance? Because it is imperative that you start out well and take advantage of, as you alluded to, that weak schedule you have early in the year.
Yeah, and I look at this, too, in one of those deals where I know it's not for everyone, but if you want to kind of come in and look at these dynamic markets, everything's moving, right? And so win totals move as well, which is one of the cool things about, you know, books like DraftKings and stuff who keep everything up all the time. Once you get past week 10, it is Chargers, then bye week, then Steelers. Yes, there is Dallas on that schedule, but then it's Tennessee, Cleveland, Denver, Pittsburgh to wrap out the season. Like, they are going to be favorites in every one of those games, probably except for Dallas, and maybe even at Dallas, depending on how Dallas looks and how Cincinnati looks, you know, heading into that game right there. You could almost come in and buy in on a dynamic win total there after the week 10 game against Baltimore, which on the road they might lose, as it is anyway. and come in and do stuff like that. Like, you know, again, I set up reminders in my calendar. If you want to do this, I highly recommend it. But it's stuff that you can remind yourself, like going, oh, man, after week 10, what is that win total sitting there for Cincinnati? Because, man, that is it really, really softens up there at the end of the year.
Yeah, and I think it's something you want to look at in terms of division futures here as well, because you look at the Ravens, the way that their schedule starts. They're at Kansas City in the kickoff game. Vegas at home, that's a game that they should win. But then they're at Dallas. I don't know if Buffalo is going to be any good. I guess we'll kind of find out. But then at Cincinnati before things get a little bit easier for Baltimore, kind of in the middle part of the schedule. So, yeah, you don't have to invest in these markets right in the preseason. As you mentioned, you get a lot of good betting opportunities as the season goes along as
Yeah, I mean, the plus 130, maybe after week one, is already better.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, so it's kind of one of those deals. If you like the Ravens.
Yeah, if they lose that game to Kansas City, you're probably getting a better number away.
Yeah, right away. Yeah. So you're not even having to wait all that long if you want to do that. So be sure to take advantage of that. When we come back, let's talk some NFL MVP.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hour number two of Sharp Money here on VSiN. Matt Brown in for Patrick. Adam Burke here on the desk with me as well. And we're going to waste no time to get to our guest here because we have a lot of stuff to talk about. You've seen him here on the network all over the place. He is Will Hill at Not The Will Hill over on the Twitter machine. Will, how you doing, buddy?
Boys, what's going on? Good to be with you. You could have wasted some time. We don't have a lot going on today. Only three Major League Baseball games for some reason. Almost feels a little bit like the pandemic, where it's just it's very strange to have this little going on. But hey, it's the summer, and excited to be with you guys.
Yeah, we got the three games, but man, all the news in the world. But let's get to the actual betting side of things first, and then we'll get to the news side of everything, because we do have the Mets and the Nationals going at it today. Big, big prospect in Major League Baseball making his debut today. Going to bat sixth there for the Nationals and James Wood. And you like the Nationals. You're going to back them here.
Yeah, I just don't like Peterson's numbers at all. You look at the expected ERA. It's right around six, I think over six. Expected batting average allowed right around 300. He's gotten hit really hard. And Gore's numbers are pretty good. I don't know that it factors into the handicap at all. The fact that the Mets had the weird situation yesterday, where they had the rain delay against Houston. They didn't get done playing until, 7:30, 8 o'clock Eastern. Then they have to travel. Probably not a big part of the handicap. But, look, this Washington team has been underrated. Really going back to last year, they've been very profitable. And you alluded to it, James Wood, the prospect who I haven't seen. I know his numbers have been really impressive in the minors, so you add that bat to the mix. But I just think it's a good pitching matchup, a good pitching advantage here. For the Nats, maybe you play the first five just because you want to isolate your handicap and you want to just get it Gore versus Peterson. I would understand that, but I do like the Washington. I do like Washington here.
Well, July 4th landing on a Thursday, so everyone's going to have to be in action on Thursday. That's why you only get the three games here today with the limited off days. Now that we're into the dog days of summer, the All-Star break is on the horizon. But, Will, a lot of teams now crossing the midpoint of the season, getting up into that 81 games played range, maybe a little bit higher, maybe a little bit lower, depending on rainouts and all of that. You've got some thoughts on how the AL West is kind of shaking out here right now, where Seattle seems to have kind of a vice grip on the division in some degree, but Houston charging very fast here, and of course our own Gil Alexander cashing Houston to win the most games in June. What are you looking at here out of the AL West?
Yeah, I worry if you have Seattle, if you are Seattle, that you just didn't put these guys away, because you look up a week or so ago, I remember just going over the broad view of these divisions, it was like, man, we might be only looking at one race, and that's the AL East. Then you blink, and Houston's within 3.5. I was doing the look ahead late last night, I guess early this morning, and Houston was plus 205. I gave that as a pick. I guess the market has caught on. We're looking at DraftKings. It's at plus 165. Shop around, especially with the divisions, with anything, but especially with these divisions, you can get a lot of disparity. Sometimes these books can be slow to move on these. But still, I think that's a good number, getting Houston at plus money like this, because I just worry about Seattle. They strike out a ton. They strike out over 10 times a game. Castillo has not been the typical Castillo we're used to seeing. And Houston, a lot has gone wrong, and you look up and you're still only 3.5 back. I think that's a bad sign. I even thought about Texas at 13-1. We've seen Wyatt Langford come on. Scherzer's come back and pitched well. Maybe get to Grom at some point. They're kind of the most under-discussed World Series champ we've ever seen. That was a good win, obviously, last night for them and for Gil Alexander against the Orioles on Sunday Night Baseball. So maybe a sprinkle on Texas 13-1. I do like Houston plus 165. I'm just looking to fade Seattle. I would worry here that they had their chance to put the division away and they didn't capitalize on it.
Yeah, well, I did the same a week ago. I played both of Houston and Texas. Mainly, it was just a fade of Seattle. They can't hit. I mean, they just can't hit. Yeah. And I mean, the team's horrible. And so, not a team that has historically done much at the trade deadline either. So, I just expect one of Houston or Texas to catch them somewhere along the way. Let's go to the big news here in the sports world as NBA free agency gets going, that Paul George does go ahead, move over to the Sixers. The Sixers go ahead, extend Maxey, get Oubre back as well to go along with Embiid. So now they've got their big three to go up against the Celtics, big three to go up against all the other big threes that might get formed along the way as we start talking about this this NBA season. And, you know, what kind of impact do you think George to the Sixers does? It, I mean, I tell you from a betting standpoint, it puts them right in there in second. But do you think this now makes them a true, real contender to win it all and go up against this Celtics team and take them out?
I think it does. I think when you're talking about George, it's like the second, in some cases, like the third best player where he can be a wing defender. I know he's 34, and that's not what you're looking for from a wing defender. But, boy, this is a really good team. It's a really good fit. It's just the elephant in the room. Can Embiid be healthy in April, in May? Who knows? That hasn't been the case. And usually when you're 30 and you're a guy of that size, usually you don't go the right way in terms of health. You don't start to get healthy all of a sudden. So that would be my concern. That's why I don't know that there's a lot of value in the number. I did look. DraftKings and season win totals aren't up, and I'm excited for when they are up because there's a few that I'm looking forward to. But they are division prices up for the Atlantic Division. Philly's plus 350 or 360. The Knicks and the Sixers are flip-flop, plus 350, plus 360. One is one, the other is the other. Is Boston really going to come out after winning a championship, missing Porzingis for half the year? Are they going to come out, you know, foot on the gas and really care all 82 games in the regular season now that they got the monkey off the back? I'm not sure. You can counter that with saying, hey, is Embiid going to be healthy all 82 games? And if you're Philly, do you want to pace him? But, look, I do think Philly's really good. I do think that you're looking at a three-team race here, and there's some rivalries involved. Boston, Philly, New York, there's some local, you know, regional rivalries. I think all three teams are legitimately good. You have to give the benefit of doubt to the champions in Boston. But, look, I wouldn't be shocked if Philly's playing next June. I have to get there with Embiid in terms of the trust. But I actually looked at this, too. If you have, like, a free bet or a bonus bet or something, 25-1 Sixers OKC NBA Finals, because – I do have concerns about Denver. This is now 2 years in a row. I mean, just look since they won the championship, who walked out the door? Green, Brown, and now Caldwell Pope. And look, they didn't replace those assets. They didn't get anything in the door. And you wonder if Jokic starts to get a little frustrated. So OKC adding Caruso, adding Hartenstein, they've got plenty of picks to trade at the deadline. Philly now, with all of the Clippers picks they have stuff to trade at the deadline. So both those teams, if you're looking like one or two moves ahead, they both have stuff to add. So if you want to just take a flyer on like a Sixers OKC final at 25-1, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world.
So, Will, in the spirit of that, looking at the Western Conference, you mentioned some of the things that the Thunder have done, and, you know, it does seem like they've kind of strengthened their position a little bit. The Mavericks, you know, they pick up Klay Thompson. Who knows if he has anything left in the tank. Are you looking at anybody else in the West that you kind of have your eye on to maybe invest in, or have you invested in the Thunder based on what they've done?
No, I haven't done anything yet. I do think they're the rightful favorite again, but these books are getting smarter. Like when moves happen, the books react. Sometimes they overreact. It's if you don't get it before the move, sometimes you're just late to the party and you've got plenty of time with this stuff. And you're talking about tying up money for, I mean, you're not talking 4 months, 6 months. This is a full year if you're talking NBA futures. So I don't know. I will be excited once win totals are posted because I will be dying to bet against the Clippers. You always say, or we always hear, the worst thing you could be in the NBA is in the middle. You're not a contender. You're not rebuilding. Well, the worst thing you could be is in the middle when you don't have your picks. And the Clippers, their best player is Kawhi, who can't stay healthy. Their second best player is James Harden. So I don't know what they do going forward. If Kawhi gets hurt, let me rephrase that. When Kawhi Leonard gets hurt, you could be looking at a position where you head into the lottery as a lottery team and you don't have your picks. So I think, and again, these numbers aren't up yet. I'm guessing they're probably be interesting. What would they be slated at? 39.5, 40, something like that, right around a 500 team. I think they have to consider a trade, and I think that an injury is always possible with Kawhi. And after that, I don't know what you're looking at. So to me, the Clippers are a team that is going to have to probably be sellers because they went all in. It didn't work. It was very strange. I know George, long-term, 4 years at his age, it's a bad contract. But in the NBA, you're just in bad shape when you lose the asset for nothing, and they lost the asset for nothing. So I don't know what they do going forward. I'll be looking at them as an under. And some of these tanking teams, especially with Cooper Flagg, available in this draft, like the Nets, I don't know how many games they're going to win, who's their best player. That will be an under I'm looking at. So I think there's going to be more meat on the bone with these win totals than these futures in terms of, you know, winning the NBA title, winning the conference and things like that.
Yeah, well, we are going to have some real tankathon stuff going on in the last few weeks of the season for sure. It is going to be amazing to watch. It's going to be like, it's not going to be free money because the spreads are going to be absurd, but it's going to be something for us to like figure out how big a number am I willing to lay against these teams.
Well, and not just that, it's not only the big numbers. You're going to have tanking teams. You're going to have multiple tanking teams because I think the Bulls finally got the memo. Hey, what are we doing here? We need a direction. The Nets, obviously, they got the memo where, hey, we got control of our draft back. So the Raptors, you could throw five or six of these teams in there that say, hey, there's no point going for this thing. And that's tricky. Obviously, when two teams are trying to lose, they both can't lose. So that's the one thing that hurts the handicap of the Nets. It's not, you know, ideally, when you're tanking, you want to be like one of two or three teams tanking. You don't want to be like one of six or eight teams tanking. And then other teams are going to be not just tanking, but bad, you know, by accident, bad just because they're bad. So it'll definitely be something to watch. And, you know, apparently it's a loaded draft now. So that obviously adds the incentive here to sink to the bottom.
Well, we got about a minute left. It's not getting the same kind of run, but NHL free agency beginning here today as well. Anything that stood out for you in that market?
Nothing for NHL free agency. I was just realizing as we were talking about Seattle earlier in baseball, I might have typed up the wrong note and sent it over to Wyatt, our fantastic producer. I do think there's value in Baltimore in the division for Major League Baseball because I have the Yankees at plus money and I watch both those teams every day. I think I'm on the wrong side. Baltimore just looks like the more complete team. Better bullpen. Yankees have holes in the lineup outside of Judge and Soto. And you're seeing a starting pitching rotation that's really starting to regress. I'm shocked you can get plus 160 on Baltimore. I wouldn't go so far as to say the wrong team is favored, but I wouldn't call you crazy if you should say Baltimore should be the favorite. Now, Baltimore's ahead of them. Baltimore just looks like they have a better team. And look, I have the Yankees as a bet. I'm a Yankee fan. I'd be very nervous about the Yankees right now. I haven't liked what I've seen the last couple of weeks. And I think Baltimore's got more to trade, too. So I think Baltimore at plus 160 is not a good bet. I think it's a great bet.
Man, I thought we were going to be able to talk about your Kraken.
Season's over. No more hockey, Matt. Until next, you know, May or something like that. Then we get hockey, Matt, back here and here again. You can find him on the Twitter machine at not the Will Hill, and of course all over our networks as well. It is Will Hill. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
See you guys. Great job with the betting guide. I encourage people to check that out. Appreciate you guys.
Look at the plug for all the hard work that you put in,
right,
there, buddy.
I try.
How many hours?
I try.
How many hours? Go ahead. We'll peel the curtain back. How many hours?
It's a lot. I mean, the whole thing start to finish took about 6 weeks put together.
Whew. Man. Yeah. And then you were writing along with it. Yeah. Not only are you constructing this thing, he's the designer, he is the writer, he is the architect, he's everything. He does it all. He's Adam Burke. He's just absolutely fantastic. When we come back, talk about some of these NBA news that we didn't get to because there was so much of it, and we'll see if that affects what we think about any of these teams.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, we got a shiny website over there. I'm not going to say new anymore. It's not new. But what it is, it might be new to you if you've never been to VSiN.com, VSIN.com. You can pull it up on your browser of choice and even on your mobile phone. And if you do pull it up on your mobile phone, guess what? We made it incredibly mobile friendly. It works seamlessly. Go in, click around, see what you like. And then you might even become a VSiN Pro subscriber along the way. But we do have the odds that are set up by your state, which is really, really great. The betting tools. And, of course, we've got some articles on there that are free as well. Not everything is behind the pay. We'll also come in, check things out over at VSiN.com, VSIN.com. We got out of the jam. Still 1-0 Astros. I mean, I knew it all along, Adam. You could tell how confident I was that we were gonna win this.
That Houston bullpen's been an issue all season long and almost was again.
Almost was again, but they weren't. And so we just got to get through three more outs to cash this here ticket. And we're still 0-0 in this soccer game in which we just saw a penalty kick get blocked. So 0-0, just riveting. Riveting the grass hockey. I mean, seriously, just riveting. I can't tell you. I love it so much.
The field looks great, though.
Yeah. Now joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, Zach Cohen. He's a writer and editor over at VSiN.com, at Betting on X, over on the Twitter machine. Zach, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well. How about you guys?
Doing well. I mean, we know you. I mean, you get into the, you dabble in the tennis streets. You get into the niche sports. You do the soccer? Do you do the NASCAR? Do you do any other niche stuff out there?
I watch a lot of soccer, but I don't bet it. I watch a lot of Premier League. I was watching that Belgium game before. I'm not watching this one right now, though.
Look at that. All right. Man of many talents out there. You can ask him about anything, but we're going to ask you about Wimbledon. And let's talk, because this is something that I think a lot of people, when it comes to tennis, get a little bit intimidated when it comes to betting tennis, because you guys will put out bets, and it's not always just outright bets. I mean, I think it's one of those things where people look and you realize pretty quick, you see, man, this guy's minus 1,700 against this person, or this guy's, you know, minus 850, and it might turn off a lot of bettors in tennis. But what are some of the other ways that people can go about betting these matches on a day-to-day basis so that you're not having to lay these incredible – because, there, look, there's a lot of mismatches in tennis, it just is. And so, like, how else could they go about tackling some of these matches without having to lay the crazy, crazy juice?
Yeah, I'm almost never involved in these ones with these crazy lopsided odds. But if you did want to do it, I mean, if you liked a player that was minus 1,700 or something like that, like, the best way would probably be to take them, you know, -2.5 sets on the men's side to take them to win in straights. That's a really risky play, especially on grass courts where, you know, it's really easy to hold serve and just kind of get late into a set really fast, which we saw today with Jannik Sinner, who dropped a set in a match that he really wasn't supposed to. But, yeah, that's why I stay away from those. But I do actually have an underdog against Iga Swiatek tomorrow, and I'm not playing the traditional spread or total. I'm taking the over 5.5 games with Sofia Kenin against Swiatek, which is a player prop offered, you know, at DK, which it's a good way to bet on these matches as well.
Zach, I know the tournament's already underway, but what were you looking at in terms of the futures market for players to win the tournament?
There's actually one that I still really like. Madison Keys on the women's side is available at plus 1,800. I gave it out at, I believe, plus 2,200. She was on the side of Aryna Sabalenka, who is the betting favorite to win this tournament, and ended up withdrawing with a shoulder injury. I liked it actually before that. So now you take the best player out of the equation. I think that there's a really good chance the Keys ends up going on to win. She's 46-15 on grass in her career, has had a really good season. Her winning percentage is the highest it's been in quite some time. She's a player with a big serve, a big, powerful game from the baseline. She moves really well, just has always played really well on faster conditions. So I think the grass is a really good, you know, surface for her. And I do think that Wimbledon is where you tend to see, you know, breakout champions. And I think the Keys is a player that kind of made a run last year at the U.S. Open, made it to the semifinals, where she blew a match against Aryna Sabalenka. Well, without that player in her way, I think she has a real chance of winning the tournament.
Zach, over on the men's side, rarely do we see Novak Djokovic with two guys above him on the odds standing, but here we are, plus 175 for Sinner, 240 on Alcaraz, and then we got 4-1 there on Djokovic, knowing he's been dealing with all the stuff that he's been dealing with off of the court. How concerned are you for Djokovic, and would you be surprised if he went on and won this thing?
I'm very concerned about Djokovic, and I would be very surprised if he did win. He has a really easy draw, which definitely helps. Like, the first two rounds for him are going to be probably cakewalk wins for him. Maybe he's coming off surgery 3 weeks ago, a torn meniscus, and I do think that there was a lot of speculation that he would miss this tournament, but he ended up rushing himself back. He wanted to play. He's won this tournament 7 times in his career. He is the best grass court player potentially, you know, in this field for sure, and one of the best grass court players of all time. But I just have a lot of doubts about him on that knee, especially considering he was struggling before the knee injury. He's not having a good 2024 season. His serve has gotten a lot worse than it was last year. Having said that, I do think he'll be in the third round. He'll play a pretty good player there, either Karen Khachanov or Holger Rune. He probably should win those matches. I think he'll have some trouble, but once we get later in the tournament, I would expect him to be bounced by a good player.
So for those that don't know, Zach covers tennis pretty much on a daily basis for us over at VSiN.com, so you can get his daily best bets, and I very much encourage everyone to go and check that out. But Zach, NBA free agency here today as well. A lot of news dropping in that regard, and you wrote something up about Paul George joining the 76ers over at VSiN.com. What are your takes on that, and do you think there's any futures value left in the Sixers?
It's hard to say to take these teams because they still have to play against the Celtics, but I do think the Sixers are going to be a team that will be in the Eastern Conference Finals as long as those guys can avoid injury. That does make them hard to bet on as well. You know, Embiid and George are two guys that are very injury prone, but I do really like what they did in grabbing George. They got Kelly Oubre Jr. back on a relatively cheap deal. They added Eric Gordon. They added Andre Drummond, which I also thought was really big because Embiid's obviously going to miss some time. Drummond is one of the best backup bigs in the league. But in George, you're getting one of the best two-way wings in the entire league. And I know a lot of people want to say a four-year contract is a little too long for a player that's 34 years old. But he was a top 10 player in the league last year, according to estimated plus minus. He's still an elite player on both ends of the floor. He's going to take a lot of pressure off both Maxey and Embiid on both ends of the floor. Now they have a defensive stopper on the wing on that defensive end. I just think they're going to be a lot better on both ends of the floor. Nick Nurse is a really good coach. So I definitely think that that move vaulted them into that contender, you know, category, especially in the Eastern Conference. They let, you know, they leapfrogged the Knicks, they leapfrogged the Nuggets, they leapfrogged the Thunder and the betting odds to win the championship. Now you have them right behind the Celtics. So it was a really nice move for them, and I'm looking forward to seeing them play.
Zach, we get the news that LeBron calls Klay Thompson, I assume, to make some sort of pitch to join him with the Lakers, and then we find out that he actually turns down more money to head to Dallas and join the Mavericks, 3 years, $50 million for Klay Thompson. We were talking and saying, like, you know, look, if there's anything left in the tank at all, it could be an interesting move because we know Kyrie can get to the rim, and if they collapse on him, they can kick it out to Klay Thompson. If he can hit some of these open threes, the fact that but my problem is he hadn't been able to do that here over the last couple of seasons. How do you feel about this move? Do you think that Dallas is a good landing spot for him, and do you think that there is anything left in the tank?
I actually do. I thought that Klay had a better year than people think, especially towards the end of last season. He really started to play a lot better once they moved him into that bench role. I think he's going to be in the starting lineup for the Mavericks. He's going to feast on good looks that Luka and Kyrie are going to create for him. But, you know, the real reason I like it is that you pretty much replaced Tim Hardaway Jr., a guy that was unplayable in the postseason, with Klay, who is definitely going to be able to shoot roughly 40%. He's still a decent defender. He's not what he once was, but he's still, a solid player, good size, really good shooter. They added some nice pieces with that while not losing a lot. I know they lost Derek Jones Jr., but he wasn't in that different of a place as Najee Marshall was, who they just signed for 3 years, $27 million before he got to Dallas. That's a good, really good wing defender, a guy that's a little bit inconsistent as a shooter, but with the looks that Luka's going to create for him, Marshall's going to knock down some shots. I think he's going to end up actually outplaying Derek Jones Jr., who signed that 3 year, $30 million deal with the Clippers. So I really just look at it as Derek Jones Jr. went out the door, but, you know, Klay and Marshall both came in. I think that that helps them as a rotation.
Zach, we got about a minute left. Are there any under the radar signings that have kind of moved the needle for you, or any players you think that are still available that could move the needle for you?
I will say, I wrote it down. I didn't really know if you were going to ask me to bring it up. I do think that Christian Braun is a player that I'm looking at in terms of the most improved player market. I know it's really early for that. Those awards are not even up. But the Nuggets did lose Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He signed a big deal with the Orlando Magic. I think that Braun is going to play roughly 25 to 30 minutes a game for the Nuggets, who continue to say really good things about what they like about Braun, what he brings to the game on both ends of the floor. They kind of talked him up when they said that we're probably going to lose Caldwell-Pope this summer, but we think that Braun can step up, play starter minutes. He has always contributed when he does play, 30-plus minutes. He plays really well off the Joker. So I do think that Braun is a player that was kind of a sneaky winner of free agency, so I'm kind of keeping an eye on that. It was not a player that moved teams, but something that I think is relevant in terms of the awards markets.
He is Zach Cohen, writer, editor over at VSiN.com, at Betting on X on the Twitter machine. Zach, appreciate the time, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Zach.
Two-run shot by Yordan Alvarez makes this a little bit easier for me here. 3-0. 3-0 bottom of the ninth.
It does. And I got to say, on that last point that Zach made, we don't talk about that enough. The opportunity it creates for somebody when a player leaves, who may even be an upgrade for that roster, maybe that does help Denver.
Yeah, no, I mean, there is that. There's something about the makeup of that Denver team that I just don't love a ton. But we'll see. I mean, they still have the best player on the planet, in my opinion. We'll put a bow on this edition of Sharp Money when we come back.